Well, I'm here today with Rob Tiller. What I want to do now is have a bit more of a chat to Rob and talk about some of his real areas of expertise and how perhaps you can help by referring people to him, by finding counselling clients for him, not only in Western Australia, but across Australia or the world. I mean, you can help people across the world, Rob.
I talk to people on Skype.
Yeah, because yeah. I've been referring people to him from Sydney, from all sorts of places, and he does telephone counselling and Skype counselling. So
absolutely,
it's a real possibility. And also, I want people to know a bit more about the areas where you've been running workshops and potential areas where you can run workshops. So I suppose the exciting thing is you can now run workshops about the things that really you're really interested in rather than what Relationships Australia approved of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I have all sorts of great ideas. But I want to go back and talk about sort of the areas, one of the areas where I've referred people to you, which is men and the fact that men are really struggling in their lives for very good reason. I mean, there's a reason why 5 out of the 7 people who kill themselves every day in Australia are male. And I'm sure you've had years and years and years of listening to men talk about struggling to be able to see their kids after divorce.
Absolutely.
About parental alienation. And it must be so tragic watching what men are going through.
Yeah, it's a real tricky time for men,
yeah.
As you well know, Bettina.
Yeah.
And I've really, in some aspects, you know, outside my couple work, which I'm really passionate about, I've dedicated my work to my professional work to supporting men.
Yeah. Through those sorts of issues, struggling with family.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of clients that I see that are going through the family court process and essentially being isolated from their children.
Yeah.
And
isolated from everybody. I mean, they get offered no support,
exactly.
No counseling. And the reason men kill themselves, the reason men sometimes act out and do dreadful things in terms of
because they're hopeless.
It's because we don't support them at all. Mm. Yeah.
They feel hopeless and they feel just right on the edge of, well, everything that I've spent my life working for, I've lost.
Yeah.
And it is a real process to help a man come back from that place.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a real potential to do workshops, more workshops in that area.
Absolutely.
To reach out to men. But of course, a lot of men want to talk privately about that. And they feel there's no one they can talk to.
Well, and I mean, if I could say anything, and I think this is one thing I do share with my male clients who are in a kind of parental alienation situation is that you're not, you know, there are a lot of men in the same boat.
Yeah.
And just knowing that lifts them a bit, gives them a bit of relief. But,
yeah.
But it certainly doesn't change the circumstances. And I've talked to men who, have worked their whole lives and they're essentially sleeping on someone's sofa.
Yeah.
And they burnt, you know, $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in lawyer fees because they're so committed to seeing their children.
And just to give them strategies to survive that.
Well, exactly.
And part of
that is, you know, a wake-up call in terms of, you know, hey, this is how the system works. This is what you can expect.
Yeah.
So painting a clear picture of the course ahead and not watering it down with, you know, by blowing smoke up their backside.
And the real worry is a lot of those people who go for counseling don't get hurt.
Hmm.
I mean, I've always struggled to find people to refer, you know, when men come to me clearly in despair and really at risk of suicide or, you know, you can just see they're on the edge. To know where to send them has always been a big problem, which is why I've been sending people to you. But that's just one area. I mean, there are a whole lot of other areas that are rather more cheerful. I mean, I suppose I've always got a soft spot for the nerdy young man.
Mm.
And I did work actually really early in my career on trying to give social skills as part of my clinical psychology course to give social skills to men who are struggling with women.
Mm.
And that's, and dealing with rejection. I mean, a guy who's socially awkward and shy and, you know, I mean, it's just,
Well, I mean, I can speak from personal experience.
Yeah. And that's what you do. I mean, I've always found that very endearing that you're willing to talk to people and say, I've been through that and this is what how I've come out of it. And one of the things we've discussed, for instance, is the whole issue of game. People who don't know about game, you could explain what it's about.
Well, I mean, I guess my interest is, I think we were talking about this recently, the idea of or what I call ethical game in terms of... What's that? What was it? Hump and dump?
Yeah, I mean, game is essentially about some very clever men have gone out and tried to work out how to help men pick up women.
Right.
And some of them promote a pretty ruthless approach to that. It's a sort of vengeance of the nerds, I would say.
Revenge of the nerds.
And hump and dump, they call it. Yeah. And it's about, you know, okay, we're going to get our own back and we're going to go to bed with many women.
As many women as we can.
Because we've been so rejected. Of it. And, yeah, that's one approach. But I mean, I'll tell you a really funny story. I was once on a date and this guy was really skilled. I mean, he did what I know now, and I knew at the time actually, was straight out of the sort of game songbook, if you like. You know, he would stroke me briefly on the arm. He'd, you know, lean in towards me. He did all the things, you know, to show he
kind
was
of
really,
connection
really interested in me and found me totally fascinating. And I called him out at one point. I said, you have learned game.
I've read this book too, buddy.
And he had. And it was very funny. He joined an online course. But the point about game, which is always, of course, totally demolished by the feminists, and even in mainstream media, it's always presented as some ghastly, you know,
misogynist
attack on women. But at its heart, it's got some real issues that are very important for men in terms of giving males confidence to deal with the humiliating business of approaching women and being rejected.
Absolutely.
And how to do better in that business. And ethical game, as you say, is something that lots of men can benefit from, and I've been referring males to you for that sort of counselling for many years.
And like you were saying before, I mean, it's been a work in progress for me, and you know, like I've taken some of those tools and put them into practice. You know, when I've been single, to over time build up my confidence, because I don't think this is one thing that most women understand. Yeah. Because generally women are on the receiving end of the approach. And so then they get to make the decision of, you know.
And they do spend, you know, most of them spend their whole 20s rejecting men. And then, of course, when I spent 5 years doing relationship counselling, mainly with old women who are so pissed off that all of a sudden the boot is on the other foot. Right. And they're really indignant that these men are rejecting them. Yeah. And I say to them, you've had your turn. I don't like that at all.
No.
There are lots of issues.
Well, it is. And it's just around raising confidence in terms of, well, how do you push through that natural instinctual fear when you're approaching a lady that you're attracted to and express your interest in a way that's invitational so that it increases your chances of winning her attention.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of rubbish out there, you know, about pickup lines. And it's nothing to do with that. I mean, it's
just about being natural.
But how to get some confidence in that territory. And I think that's really important.
And it's a lot easier than I think most guys make out. But I think, you know, you have to deal with that initial fear. And that's
difficult. Yeah.
That's a work. It takes practice.
Yeah, it takes practice. And the other area we've talked a lot about is the fact that lots of men have come to me over the years complaining about counselling. I mean, that's one of the relationships Australia generally has a pretty dreadful reputation in terms of not hearing men, not giving men fair treatment.
Well, there was a it might have been 5-6 years ago at a professional colleague, not within the organization, within the community, asked me, why are you working for these guys?
Yeah.
They are not pro men.
Yeah.
And I guess, well, part of my mission, and I'm not speaking about my professional colleagues I work with. I think most of them are exceptional practitioners. It's more the attitude of the agency, the kind of ethos in terms of, you know, well, if a couple is having a problem, what has he done?
Yeah.
Is kind of a nutshell. And I guess, you know, in terms of my intention was to learn the skills to support men, both in their relationships and personally, to just kind of take their own life by the horns.
Yeah. And have a chance of having an impact on her. I mean, one of the things that I hear from a lot of men particularly is that by the time they got to counselling, she was already out the door. And the whole counselling was about the female counsellor helping her make good decisions about leaving him. Mm. And they felt they never had a chance of saving their marriage. And that's the reason they went in for counselling. Mm. And it's a really sad thing. Years ago, I wrote this article about marriage counselling generally and about the fact that a lot of counsellors have no commitment whatsoever to saving marriages. Mm. They don't even begin to try to do that. And funnily enough, one of my friends who's a psychologist was mentioned in that article because she starts the other way around. She says she will look first at trying to see whether that marriage can be put together again. Can you find some way of people, you know, learning how to communicate effectively and you know, work out ways of living with each other? And she, it's like 15 years later, she still gets referrals through my article because it's like hen's teeth finding a counsellor who's really hearing both sides and saying, let's just give this another go first. Mm. And you've done all the work in that area.
Well, I mean, it's the hardest couples work to do. And so I understand why a lot of couples therapists struggle with it, because If one partner, I mean, and I think statistically 70% of relationships are ended by the female.
Yeah. So it's almost always the women, they've already made the decision.
And they've made it a few, you know, either a year or 2 years back, and they're just waiting for the right time.
Yeah.
The right
time. And
they
want their counseling to help him accept the fact that it's all over.
And so if I get a whiff of that, you know, I'll challenge it in those early sessions and say, hey, what are we doing here? So I'll actually call it out. And then if there's some, and generally they're coming in a high state of crisis. So then it's a matter of what are those things called that you give someone who's had a heart attack, defibrillator?
Yeah, that's right.
Because you need a swift, high impact intervention that's going to shift the trajectory.
And at least say, "Is this? Are you here because you wanted to leave him?" You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, but you sometimes manage to get people back from the brink.
Absolutely.
You?
Yeah, it's really the exciting. It's the best work.
Yeah. And particularly these guys. I mean, because it's tragedy of men who don't even know what hit them. Who
because they're blindsided.
Yeah. And they have no idea they're about to lose their families and all the things that will consequences that will follow from that. To give some men a chance of hanging on to their families must be a fantastic thing to do.
Absolutely. And I mean, and part of it is challenging them. It's like they get some insight in terms of, because a lot of time I notice the women might not necessarily communicate their disdain, or they might just bottle it for years and years, and then that works into a head of resentment that they then use to move out of the relationship, relationship. And so then part of the conversation is to him, you know, getting him to think about, well, you know, how can you invest or reinvest in ways in your relationship that are going to rebuild it.
Yeah. And are you willing to?
So I challenge the guys a lot.
Yeah. Well, both sides. Which is
exactly.
What's important. And look, there are good counselors out there who are doing that.
Absolutely.
But
what I'm saying is it's the hardest work. And I think it takes the most skill to be able to hold a male and a female partner to account.
Yeah.
And in general, I think most people, if the guy shows his, you know, guys generally express their hurt feelings through grumpy, angry.
Silence, withdrawal.
Or silence and withdrawal. So they stonewall or they get snarky.
Yeah.
And
And then the female counsellor gets pissed off with it.
Exactly.
And then, of course she's leaving him.
And goes offside. Yeah. Whereas if she was actively kind of or reading his behavior correctly, he's suffering.
Yeah.
And if she treated him like a crying woman.
Yeah. You must have seen that all the time. Men who come across really badly because of the way they're dealing with the stress of that situation.
You don't know how many times I've heard from men who this is their last shot at couples counseling, sitting in an office with me. They tell me, with the last couples counselor, I had the target on my head. I was the bad guy.
Yeah. Well, I hope some of those men in that situation will reach out to you, Rob. I think it's really important that you're there as someone they can talk to and maybe do, you know. Can you do couples counseling by Skype?
Of course.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah.
Maybe people find that more comfortable sometimes than doing it face-to-face. But, of course, in Western Australia, they can all come running to see you.
They can, yeah.
And also we'll be, you know, talking about the workshops. And we're going to put up a whole list of workshops you might want to run. And one of the things I'd like people to do, if you've got venues you can offer for you to run, you know, free venues.
That'd be great.
Help you establish regular workshops and contribute in other ways.
That's an area of passion for me. I really like the workshop and the relationship education side of things and working with a group. It's just so much energy and excitement,
and particularly men. I mean, the fact that you also do workshops just with men,
absolutely,
and that's a rare experience for men to hear, talk about these sort of personal issues in a sort of safe place where they feel comfortable. And,
absolutely, yeah.
So that'll be good. All right, Rob, the campaign is about to begin, and I want everybody to maintain the rage.
Thank you so much.
Lovely to have you here.